This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Engine Adeep recording artist Marsh joins me to speak about how he's navigating the culture shock of moving to the U.S. during the global pandemic and about his latest album. Thanks for joining me, Marsh.
My pleasure.
Tell me, how long have you been a DJ for?
Well, I've been touring for about 2 years now. I've been able to DJ for the last 10 years, but professionally, I've only been doing it for about 2 years.
What does that mean, professionally for only 2 years? So what was the other eight then?
My background is in production primarily. It's writing music and composing music. I've been able to DJ because that's the main way that, as an electronic music artist, you perform the music. There's so many different elements in an electronic piece of music. It's quite hard to replicate that live. So DJing seems to be like the most common way that those sorts of artists can perform that music. So I've been able to do it for, 10 years. But professionally, I mean, I've been able to be paid for it. And I've been able to tour more of the world and do it, on a professional level, rather than before it was just something I could do in my bedroom,
Well, that makes sense. You're right. I mean, there's a big difference of doing something in your neighborhood versus doing something on like an international scale. So I could see that. What would you describe as your style of music when you DJ?
It's electronic music, but it's not the stereotypical thing you'd think of. It's not the really loud party music. You can dance to it, and I love to dance to it, and people all over the world love to dance to it, but it's a bit more laid back. It's a bit more emotion-led and soulful, and it's great as music that you could listen to while you're working in the background or while you're studying.
Oh, I like that type. The type you can kind of chill to, and it kind of molds to anything you're doing.
I mean, I personally struggle to, like, if I'm reading a book and I'm listening to the music I love, I struggle to concentrate on both. But I think some people are able to do that really well, and they're able to, it might enhance that experience for them. I just get caught up in it because I'm so obsessed with that sort of music.
Now, do you play any instruments?
Yeah, so I grew up playing the piano since I was 6 years old. And I went through some of the different piano exams that you can do in England. It was more of a chore for me, if I'm totally honest. I sort of played a lot of classical music, and it was a chore every week to practice before my piano lesson to make it look like I'd actually done something in the week before the last lesson. But I'm so thankful that my parents sort of pushed me to do it, because it's the foundation for me being able to write music today and hear different melodies and chord progressions and all sorts of things like that. So I'm thankful for that.
When it comes to your set, do you ever try to incorporate your piano skills into it?
I incorporate the air piano, if that counts. But no, I've not done any live playing piano yet during a set. I might one day look into doing more of a live setup for the time being. Yeah, it's just a DJing thing I'm doing at the moment. I've not thought about flying around with like a keyboard and stuff like that. But yeah, one day I might look into that.
Some people do that. And that's why I you kind of made me think about this. Like, how difficult would it be to incorporate like instruments into a set? Is it harder than what I'm thinking it is? Or is it, you think it would be a little bit easier than like, oh, I'm just bringing a keyboard. It's just the equipment and the weight that's going to stop me.
No, it's definitely possible to do. I've got quite a small synthesizer, which I could easily fit into a carry-on suit, like carry-on bag. And it would just be a case of plugging that into the mixer. And I could sort of jam out some other piano or like synthesized melody on top of what I'm playing. That is definitely something I could look into one day. Another route would be that I sort of create my music to be performed in a total live way, where the drum channel and all of the different elements can be added in as I sort of want to pick and choose as I'm performing. And then it would give me even more flexibility to play the melody from the track live rather than have it, pre-recorded. So there's some options.
Now, what's your thought process when you're beginning the production of a set, or just music in general? What do you do you base it off of your life experience, or is it just like an emotion you're feeling at that moment?
Two different processes, I suppose, there. When I'm preparing for a set, that depends on my time slot. If I'm playing an hour or an hour and a half, depending on the venue and the crowd, I probably lean on playing like 100% of my own music to make sure that fans that have come to hear me, they can go home like satisfied that they heard the song they'd come to hear me play. If I'm playing longer, like a 3-hour set or a 4-hour set, I like to plan where I'm starting the mix, and I'll often, you know, have different moments that I'll get to in the set during those 4 hours to sort of keep the journey progressing. But it's a bit more fluid then. I can sort of go with the flow, and again, if I'm headlining or if I'm opening, you know, that's I can't play the more banging sort of music if I'm opening. And so you sort of need to think about that too when you do it. When I'm writing music, I like to start with like sort of an atmosphere, really. I love like nature. Nature's a big inspiration for me. Looking out of the window here in my apartment in Cincinnati and just seeing the trees and the birds chirping away. And a lot of that inspires me. And even just walking around our neighborhood is just inspiring. I like to start with field recordings of birds and nature and different places in the world, and then I might start putting some chords down, building atmosphere as much as I can. I try to hold off from writing beats and bass lines and stuff. I try and do that last because I like to just jam out as many different musical ideas and themes as I can, so I've got lots to pick and choose from when I start to build the track, if that makes sense.
So I know you're from the UK. Have you noticed that there's a difference in expectations between the UK and US audiences?
That's a good question. I don't think there's a huge difference. I think like this style of electronic music, we've had it for a little bit longer in England and in Europe. I mean, it's a lot of it sort of, well, funny enough, originates from some places. Like it's got its roots in Chicago and Detroit with like early techno, but then it sort of developed and morphed over in the Netherlands and places like that in Europe. And the UK has always been closely behind the developments there in the sound. And so I think when I go back home, there is a little bit more of a pressure that the crowd, they really know this music, and you have to really think about what you're going to play for them. But I treat both countries the same. I mean, I love to introduce fans in America to music that I grew up with in England, which might not have even made its way over here. And I love to share those moments that were really special to me growing up, that people in America might not have heard yet. So I've made like slower edits of some of the classic tunes I grew up to, and I love that.
So tell me about your latest single, Leilani.
You've pronounced it perfectly, actually. Most people get that wrong. But yeah, so Leilani, it's named after my wife, Maddie. It's one of her middle names. It's a Hawaiian word, which means heavenly flower. I love the word. We had our honeymoon in Kauai back in the end of 2017. Leilani's just really inspired by that tropical, you know, environment, the beach, beautiful mountains there, beautiful colours. And yeah, so it's quite a chilled out track. But when the vocal comes in and the melody, it really starts to be groovy. And it was one of those tracks that I sort of made it maybe over the course of 2 or 3 days. And I just knew it had like a gem potential to it after I finished it. And I just ran with that, and people really enjoyed it. I mean, it's the most requested track I've ever written. Like, I've been playing it out in sets for the last year, 2 years probably now, and everyone knows it before it's been released. And yeah, I'm so pleased it's out now. But yeah, it made total sense to have it as the title track for the album.
So tell me about the rest of your album. Are there any other songs on there that you're like, oh, that it all flows together? Like, is this telling me a story?
I guess the story behind the album, the way that it's all connects for me is that the album has been a safe place for me to express different emotions and process feelings, experiences that I've encountered over the last sort of 3 years of living in the States. We all process our emotions differently. And, you know, I might be in a situation where it's a sad situation and a lot of people are reacting in a sad way. And sometimes I don't always react in the same way that everyone else does, or like maybe there's an expectation to react in a certain way. But when I get to the studio and I'm alone and when I'm writing out ideas, often that is the place where I can express and process and unpack those feelings that I was sort of unable to express and unpack in the moment. And the album, the theme of it, I mean, I'm exploring stuff like we lost Maddie's mum back in at the end of 2018 at a really young age. And, you know, we've been processing that, and the album's been a safe place for me to process that. There's also happier themes, like some of the places we've traveled to and unpacking those incredible moments of seeing Iceland. There's a track called Foss, which is sort of looks at the waterfalls, which I don't know if you've been, but they always have like Foss at the end of the name of the waterfall. Foss is Icelandic for waterfall. And there's a track dedicated to Maddie's mum on the album called Kami. There's lots of different themes, really. But I think it is tied together by that. Yeah, it being a safe place to process. And I hope that for the people listening, that it could be a safe place for them to unpack and process things that they've been thinking about and working through amidst all of the busyness and noisiness in life going on around us.
Did you do any collaborations on this album?
Yeah, there's a few. One of them is a collaboration with one of my earliest friends, a guy that I met when I was 4 years old in school, my friend Cam. He's Fenoir on the album. The track's out now. It's called Don't Wait. He dabbles in music production and he'll often send me different musical ideas. And for Don't Wait, he'd sent me these chords and these drums, and I was just so inspired by it. I was like, dude, send me the parts of this. Let me have a jam on this. Maybe we can collaborate on it. And yeah, we got to work on it. And so that was one of the collaborations we had. I've been working with a singer called Leo Wood. She's based in Canada at the moment, but she's originally from Bristol in the UK. I came across Leo. She makes these amazing vocal sample libraries that producers can use, and you can pay for them and you can use those different vocal cuts royalty free, which is really useful. There's a lot of bad vocal libraries out there. And I'd used so much of Leo's libraries in my work that I thought, you know, why don't I reach out to her and see if we can work together on something more formal for the album? And so sent her some draft sketches of music I was working on, and she put together, you know, some really great songs that she recorded, and then I brought them into the master project. So that there were some other collaborations on the album. There's a couple more to mention, I suppose, but maybe I'll leave it there for now.
So I know earlier you've said that, you know, you've been touring and doing all that stuff, but, you know, the pandemic, that put a damper on a lot of touring right now. So what have you been doing to keep yourself active right now?
It's been funny with the pandemic because I've been doing this like nearly 11 years now and working towards that dream of being able to be in a place where you can tour and you can play music to people that know the music you're playing. And I've worked so hard to get to there. And then to have that all sort of like snatched away, working on the album has actually been a full-time job, massively. It all got really more serious sort of April time. So we're just starting into the pandemic and finalizing album tracks for mastering and checking the masters and then playing different music videos and what the narrative was for the album and figuring all of that out. It's been huge. It's been a massive process. I've also been working on a shoot that we're going to do at a really beautiful state park in Kentucky. It's about a 2-hour drive from where we live in Cincinnati, and it's called Natural Bridge. And we're going to have like some 4K video shot up close of me performing the album and really nice drone shot. And we're going to go up at sunrise one day when the weather is nice and get that shot. So I've been working on getting permits for flying drones and all sorts of things like that. And it's been hard to actually find time to write new music at the moment, which is killing me at the moment. But this is such an important time as well. So that's sort of how I've been making the most of the time.
Now, there are some musicians out there who have fallen back on Facebook Live, Twitch, and they just do their set on the internet live. Is that something like you'd be interested in doing, or you haven't thought about it really?
Yeah, no, I've actually been doing Twitch as well. Forgot to say that. But yeah, I'm Marsh Musician on Twitch, and that has been awesome. I've been doing it sort of every other week, and I'll do sets ranging from like 2 hours to the longest I did was an 8 hour set. I've been able to play music I grew up with, been able to look at favorites on the record label I'm working with now on Anjuna Deep, and a really beautiful community of people has formed by doing this. And they'll come and like the chat is just hilarious with everyone getting involved, and it's a really special time. The cats get involved, they'll be like walking on top of the decks, and sometimes they'll hit the play button and the music stops. Or we had one session where my acoustic treatment in my room fell down and knocked out the plug socket, and everything died in the stream apart from the music. You sort of had to be there, but it was a really special moment where I put the webcam on instead of using my DSLR camera. Yeah, we just finished the set, and it was a fun time.
Yeah, it's kind of shocking how hype you can get in chat when you're on Twitch. You know, you don't think it's possible, but things get pretty lit. You know, everybody does the fire emoji.
Right.
Right? It's like you all get pretty lit and you get hyped up. And it's kind of funny that individually, you know, everybody's behind a screen just kind of like enjoying the music. But in the chat, you can still be enthusiastic and say, hey, I really like what you're doing. So it's kind of cool that you have your own little community going. Is that something you'll like to continue to build even after the pandemic?
Yeah, I'm thinking about it, actually. I just bought some new decks when I'm doing my live stream. And the thing that's nice about it is, you know, I can fly to a city and I can play a show in front of people. And that's a special moment. And there's nothing else like it. But there's a lot of people that can't make it to that city for that show. And with streaming, I'm able to reach people. I'll often put in the chat, I'll say, you know, whereabouts are you guys tuned in from right now? And there'll be people in, you name it, like all over the world. And they're able to be together enjoying the music, and that's something that is new from the live set. I'd love it if I could somehow figure out a way to stream when I start touring again. When that comes back, maybe there's a way I can stream those sets, but it all depends on having a good Wi-Fi connection, and there's a lot that can sort of go wrong to make that a really poor experience as well, but figuring that out.
What do you plan on doing moving forward? I guess like in the next 6 months, do you see yourself putting out more music, or you're just gonna just work on what you've already been doing?
I think the first sort of set of releases that we'll expect in 2021 will be remixes that other producers have made for tracks on the album. I've heard some of those already and I'm really excited about those, but I'm also building up on my releases for next year. There's a lot coming. I'm not slowing down the sort of the momentum that I've sort of created this year and last year. I'll probably let my album breathe for a little bit before throwing more music out there. But perhaps in the second quarter of next year, I'll be able to put out a fresh EP of new music. And hopefully, if touring can pick back up, it would be really, really great to do a small album tour starting early next year. But we'll have to see how everything goes.
Well, Marsh, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you being here. And for those listening, where can they find more information about you and your music?
Yeah, thank you so much. People listening, I mean, you can find me on Spotify and Apple Music and different sites like that. I'm Marsh on those. I've had to pronounce that in my American accent. And on all social platforms, you can find me at Marsh Musician. So I'm on Twitch and Instagram and Facebook as Marsh Musician. So check it out.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's masonverapayne.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.